Amen.
Amen.
Bless your heart. Oh, y'all remember Brother Robert. Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. You can't praise the Lord too much.
Amen.
Hey, let me say that again. You just can't praise the Lord. Go ahead, Brother Jeff.
Amen.
You better rip, doctor.
I preached the other day. I preached Friday night at a mission. When you get over there to chapter 11, 2 Samuel, they did a great scene.
Yeah.
My Bible tells me that thy word is settled for how long?
Ever.
I got to tell you, I said, Lord, why is David saying he's going to be remembered forever?
Mm.
And he hit me the other day, because the greater son of David,
yeah,
took my sins.
Yeah.
He stands before the Lord.
Hey, hey.
He holds up to the nail pierce.
We'll remember
what it is that he died for.
Yes, sir.
We can't praise him enough, Pastor.
Matthew chapter number 13.
Yeah.
I don't know how far through this I'll get. I've got a lot, and I will be mindful of the time. But Matthew chapter number 13, this has kind of been burning on my heart all week long, and I'll explain that in just a minute. Won't you look at Matthew chapter number 13? We'll start reading verse number 1. The Bible said, the same day when Jesus out of the house, he sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, yeah, they were scorched. Yeah. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And the Lord says right here, who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Yes, sir.
My granddaddy used to say, God gave you two ears and one mouth. That means you're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk.
Yeah.
So Jesus gives this parable right here, and he said, I want you to hear what I'm saying. You know what a parable is? A parable is a story of something that you understand to help you understand something you cannot understand. Does that make sense? The Lord says, in other words, it's like this.
Yeah.
That's how God teaches me the Bible, and that's how the Lord gives me sermons. He always has, and some say it's unique. I don't know. I think it's normal. Amen. The Lord has shown me something. Brother Tony gives me fish. Who could preach on a water bottle or a cave trip? And that's the way the Lord does. The Lord said, hey, it's just like this. This is what I'm trying to teach you. This is what I'm about. And so here he gives this parable of the sower sowing his seed, some into good ground and others into stony ground and some into places where the thorns came up. We'll go through all that in a minute. But this week, every day when I left my house, sometimes I leave my house several times a day, but every time I leave my house, I have to drive by Brother Charles Bice's house. That's Brother Jason and Brother Stacy's uncle, Brother Jay's brother. He lives right up the street from me, and Brother Charles is known for growing an awesome garden every year. Him and his wife, his family, they got two gardens. They got one there in the yard, and then one right down the street. And I always know when to visit Brother Charles. When I ride by there, them tomato plants are just hanging heavy. I think, boy, the Lord's laid it on my heart to stop and see Brother Charles. I see him out there picking that over. I think, boy, I need to stop. Have more prayer, Brother Charles. Amen. And he always gives me stuff out of his garden. But all week long this week, Brother Charles is about 80.
Yeah.
Approaching 80 years old. Every day when I drove by his house this week, he was out there in that garden preparing that ground. I came by yesterday yesterday on the way for Brother Jason's son's wedding yesterday afternoon. And there was that 80-year-old man out in that field with that hoe in his hand. He was just chopping into them hard clods of dirt and was breaking them things up. And every day that drove by his house, that scripture right there kept coming back to my mind over and over and over as I watched that old man work and work and work and work to prepare. You know what he's doing? He's praying and hoping for an outcome. And I wonder how many of us has worked on our heart this morning. I wonder, hey, well, I'm going to preach to you a little bit this morning. When we get to this soul itself, you're going to find yourself in one of those places. I hope and pray, Brother Freddie, this morning that my heart, the Lord would consider it good ground. Amen. I pray, hey, before the ground can be good, there might have to be some plowing done. Can we get a witness right there? Ground can be good. Hey, it's got to be broke up. I remember anybody ever used a rotor tiller? I hate them things. Thank God for John Deere tractors. Somebody say anything like that. I remember that ground being so hard, that tiller just bounced on top of the ground. And man, wasn't even getting nowhere. And I remember my granddaddy said, you got to sit back on it, just stand there and hold it. Don't let it walk. Let that thing just beat and beat and beat and beat. And finally, it'll break that crust on the ground, and it'll begin to dig in. And the deeper it digs, the more moist and the more soft that ground. Are you listening to me this morning? Sometimes God's got to break up an old hard heart. Sometimes God's got to use His Word and the preaching of the Word of God to break up our old hard heart. We come in church, I'm sick and tired of hearing about walls. I don't know where that term came from. People come in my office all the time. Well, preacher, I can't help it. I got a wall built up. Tear this thing down. Amen. Hey, my wife is hooked on Chip and Joanna. Fixer upper. They remodel houses. And they go in these old houses, first thing they do is start tearing down walls. That's what somebody ought to do in the house of God this morning. Go and look at that old hard heart of yours and say, by bless God, that wall's coming down, and that wall's coming down, and that wall's coming down, where God can do something in my heart. You say, well, I've been done wrong. We've been treated bad. Oh, ain't we all? That's what sin does. It scars and it wounds and it hurts. And every one of us are marked by it in some way, shape, or another. Amen. I ain't preaching to the choir this morning. I'm preaching to everybody. Every one of us are marked by sin. Every one of us can find something in our past and something in our life and have an excuse to have an old hard heart this morning.
It's good.
According to this book right here, we're without excuse.
Amen.
God's already been far better to us than we deserve. We got breath in our bodies and we're setting up vertical this morning. Are you listening to me? I want to look, I'm going to get right to it this morning. I want to look at the task of the sower. The task of the sower himself. The one who is sowing, y'all know what I'm talking about when I say the sower. Let's look at his identity as we talk about his task, the identity of the sower. In our parable this morning, the Lord Jesus gives a picture of a farmer out in his field or out in the field sowing his seed. The identity of the sower. And you can go over and read Luke's account. You'll find out who the sower is. You'll find out who the seed is. You'll find out who the soil is. He'll lay that whole thing out for you. Well, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is the sower is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one sowing the seed. Hey, he came into this world to preach the gospel and repentance to those who are lost and died and going to hell. And the seed is the gospel. Are you listening? Amen. He is the sower.
Amen.
And every one of us are delegates of the sower. He has delegated unto us his job of sowing the seed. Are you listening? The identity of the sower. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, what's those people shouting about this morning? It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's those people coming to the altar for? It's the sower. He showed up this morning. He showed up even with a slack choir, even with a slack crowd. He showed up and started sowing some seed in some heart. He came by Lexi over there and started sowing some seed and said, hey, you remember just how good I've been to you? Hey, sometimes we get to thinking we're a little more than we ought to think, and God will come by and have them to sing, who am I? That king would bleed and die for. And boy, that seed begins to land in that heart, and it springs up.
Amen.
And you can't help but praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad the soul is faithful to show up around here. Amen. Say, there ain't nothing better. There's only one thing better than sowing, and that's reaping. Amen.
Yeah.
Only one thing better than sowing. That's what Gary was excited about this morning. He just reaping a little bit, checking off in prayer list. Amen. Thank God we can reap a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I want to talk about the sower, his task, his identity, who he is. It's the Lord.
Amen.
I remember after Jesus had been crucified and Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the disciples said, we go also with thee. And they fished out there all night long. And early that next morning, there was a stranger on the shore. And he asked him the question, have you any meat? Y'all remember that? And you know what John said? John looked at Peter and said, it's the Lord. Amen. I want to recognize the sower this morning for who he is. It's not us. Somebody told me this week, sent me a text, said, preacher, that youth choir did a fine job on Monday and Tuesday night. Yeah, they did all right, but it's the Lord.
Yes,
without him, they'd be nothing. Half of them don't even sing on key. They're just opening their mouth and yelling. It's just the Spirit of God resting on the innocent hearts of little children. It ain't nothing about talent. I'm telling you, it's the Lord. Him for who he is, his identity.
Amen.
The sower is the Lord. His intentions. What are his intentions? I watched Brother Charles work in that garden this week. And I think as the farmer casts his seed into the field, he does so with hope that some of those seeds will fall in good ground. That some of those seeds. Now, a farmer's job is to prepare the ground.
Yes.
Amen. When I was a kid, my job, till I got big enough to drive a tractor, my job, it was still my job. Even after I could drive the tractor, that just hit me. My job was to pick up rocks. Anybody ever grew a garden when you was growing up? It's amazing to me the same garden is planted, tilled, and planted every single year, and that same garden yields the same amount of rocks every single year. I don't know where they come from. It's coming up rocks. Why are you picking up the rocks? Preparing the ground so that to ensure that seed will fall on good ground. Now listen, as a preacher farmer this morning, I can't prepare your field. I can't break up the hard ground. I can preach to you. I can't get the rocks out of your heart. You're going to have to do that. But as that farmer reaches into his bag and sows that seed, he's praying that seed will fall on good ground. And that seed will bring fruit. That it will multiply. His intentions. What are the Lord's intentions this morning? That some seed will fall on some good ground. And somebody will hear from heaven and get some help for their lives this morning. Listen, God knows who you are. And he knows where you are. And he'll take you exactly as you are. I'm tired of this religious crowd. Look down their nose at everybody else. Hey, you ain't nothing but a chunk of dirt. That's all you are. You a dirt bag. Scientists say that the very same 96 elements that it takes to make up Earth is the same 96 elements it takes to make up me and you.
Amen.
I don't need science for that. I got a Bible. I got the creation account where it said God formed man out of the dust of the earth. He told us we is dirt before there ever was a scientist with a, what do you call them things you look through? Microscope. was going to say telescope. That's what I'm going to do. Amen. Don't need science to tell us we're dirt.
Amen.
But I want to be good dirt.
Amen.
I want to be good dirt that will receive that seed this morning. The sower's identity and then his intention is for that seed to fall on good ground. But thirdly, I want you to notice, Brother Charles, his investment. His investment. For that sower, Brother Freddy, or that farmer to be able to reap a harvest, he's got to put something in it.
Amen. That's good.
We're living in a world that wants something for nothing.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You remember when Obama run for president? Everybody, I'm going to get a free phone. They ain't free nothing. Ain't nothing free. That free insurance, it ain't free. Ain't no free ride. Somebody help me this morning. But we're living in a world. We want give me. Well, what have you done to earn it? And don't get me wrong. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot earn the Lord. Hey, it's bought and paid for. It's done. Hey, but man, God ain't just going to dump the blessings of heaven out of your life until you get ready to give a little bit.
Amen.
You know what that farmer has to do? He has to take something very precious to him, and that's the seed.
Amen.
And he has to cast it into the ground.
Amen.
Somebody told me one time I was preaching at a certain place, and another preacher called me and he said, "Preacher, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. I've never considered sowing a waste of time. I may sow 1,000 seeds, but if one, if one germinates and takes root, I have a harvest." Amen. Then I'm praying for a bumper crop.
Amen.
The farmer must give something away before he can expect to receive something in return. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Heaven gave everything it had that you and I might become a child of God. Are you listening? The sower and his task. His identity is glory. His intentions is to sow a seed and pray for a harvest. His investment, he's given everything he's got. He's given everything he's got. He's putting all his eggs in one basket. Amen? And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Now, we looked at the task of the sower. But I want you to notice this morning the treasure of the seed. The treasure of the seed. Without seed, the farmer has nothing. Are you listening? Without seed, I'm going to Ohio in the morning. And when I get out there at the cornfield, Brother Freddy, as far as you can see, corn, stalks of corn. They probably won't be but about that high right now, but if they're even out of the ground yet. But that corn will get up 6, 7, 8 foot high. And then when those fields are full of corn and it's tall like that, they tasseled out on the top. You talk about pretty, Brother Charles. Just that deep, rich green as far as you can see. That thing blowing in the wind. Hey, listen, that didn't just happen by itself. It happened because of a seed that was put in the ground. And without that seed, there'd be no corn. Listen, without that seed, there'd be no salvation. Without that seed, there'd be no answered prayer. Without that seed, somebody will help me this morning. Without that seed, we'd have nothing. And notice the treasure of the seed. In Luke chapter number 6 or 8, Luke chapter number 8, Jesus, in this same parable, identifies the seed. But Spartan, he tells us exactly what the seed is. He said the seed is the Word of God.
Amen.
Talking about the treasure of the seed. How important and how precious it is. Are you listening? I can't stand it when people make light of it. I can't stand it when people water it down and try to change it to suit their lifestyle. You cannot change the seed. Amen? Our kids used to sing a song years ago. Said the Word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered all around. Some in the road, some in the weeds, but everywhere you look, there's a little bit of sin. Y'all remember that? Kids used to sing that all the time. Thank God for the treasure of the seed. Without this seed, I would not know, Brother Robert, that I'm a sinner. Because it's in this bag of seed right here that says, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's in that bag of seed right there where it said that all my righteousness is filthy rag. It's in that bag of seed right there that said there is none good. No, not one. I'd have never known I was a sinner. And if I'd have never known I was a sinner, I'd have never known I needed a Savior. It was in that bag of seed right there that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thank God. And we got some good seed to sow.
Yes, sir.
I was at Walmart one day this weekend. I'd left the house, and as I drove out the road, right there on Belmont Road, there was Brother Charles out there working in that garden. And it was just kind of starting to kind of burn on me a little bit about him putting that effort. And I got to Walmart. And I always park in at the garden department and come in that way because it's quicker to check out over there. Y'all tell nobody. You don't put the secret out. You can get out of Walmart a little quicker. And but I'm walking through there, Brother Charles, and they got a thing of seeds set up where you buy these seeds to plant. And I'm walking by that, and something caught my eye. I ain't finna plant nothing. I got Publix. Amen. I ain't got time to be holding the weeds. Amen. But I walked by there, and something caught my eye on that rack of seeds. And on one of them little packs, Brother Jesse, here's what it said. Guaranteed to grow. That's a pretty bold statement. Guaranteed to grow. There's probably some fine print down there.
Amen, bro.
Let me tell you something about the seed I got this morning.
Come on.
Bro Todd, it's guaranteed to grow. I got a written guarantee on it. He said his word would not return void. He said it again. He said his seed, his word, would not return void. He said, preacher, you cast it. You cast the seed. You just keep casting. Some's going to land on good ground. Sooner or later, I guarantee you that seed will grow. Thank God for the word of God that told us we was a sinner, that told us there's a Savior. Amen. Listen, this seed holds great power. This seed, Brother Charles, holds great power. Listen, before the seed falls on the soil is devoid of life. It's just dirt. There's no life there. It lies there barren and empty. How many of you remember when your life was that way?
Yes, sir.
You tried to fill it with this and you tried to fill it with that. Amen. It feel good for a little while, but then wear off, and you have to have more to take that place. And over and over and over the cycle goes. Hey, life just barren and lifeless. Teenagers committing suicide every day because they don't think they have anything to live for. Barren and lifeless. I'm talking about the power of the seed this morning. That ground is barren and lifeless, but when the seed falls on the good ground, it germinates. You ever watch the seed germinate? I remember doing that in school. That little thing begins to crack and pop open. Listen, before that seed can ever produce, it's got to crack. Amen. Before God ever get anything out of that heart, He may have to crack it. All of a sudden, you see this little bitty thing is perfect. And what that is life. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I remember as a kid, my thing was watermelon. You don't like watermelon, you ain't married. Amen. You need to move up north somewhere where they'll like you. Ain't nothing better than a cold watermelon and a salt shaker. Amen. I said something to a kid here a while back about yellow-leaved watermelon. He didn't have a clue. I said, man, you ain't never seen no yellow watermelon. He said, I thought that's all green. I said, I'm talking about the inside. And I'm craving some yellow-leaved watermelon right now. But every year when I was little, I had my section in the garden, and that was my watermelon patch. Papa let me plant my watermelons every year. He liked them as much as I did. I was going to say something else. Talk about them seedless watermelons. I preach a whole message on that.
Yeah.
I know some seedless Christians. Amen. Anyway, I planted watermelons. And you know what we do? Papa say, okay, now, we better pray for rain.
Yeah.
We better pray for rain. So enough, we'd pray for rain, and God would send the rain.
Yeah.
I'd go out there every day. Every day, I'd go out there and look.
Yeah.
I'd look.
Amen.
I'd look, and something would be sticking up by that dirt. I'd say, Papa, I got watermelons. That's a weed.
Yeah.
Sure, it ain't a watermelon. I don't want to pull up a watermelon. Let's make sure it's a weed. It's a weed.
Yeah.
I pull that weed up.
Yeah.
I come out there the next day. There'd be more stuck up. He'd say it's weeds. Man, I'm gonna get some watermelon. I was impatient.
Yeah.
I wanted a miracle. Put it in the garden.
Yeah.
Watermelon, I get.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just add water. Just watermelon. But it took some time.
That's right.
It took some time, but Chris, it didn't just happen overnight.
Mm,
one morning I run out there, and there's something sticking up out of the ground that looked a little different than what I've been doing.
Yes.
I said, Papa, come here. Is this a weed? He said, no, baby, that's a watermelon. And that's a watermelon. And that's a watermelon. And that and the little watermelon, the little watermelon sprout sticking up all over that place. Hey, that ground that was dry, that ground that was hard, that ground that was lifeless and barren because of the work that I put forth and the seed that I planted, now it's got a life coming about it. Oh, aren't you glad when Jesus planted that seed and life began to come out of something? But there was no life. People get a little sideways with us when we get to shouting, praising God. You know what that is? A life. Life without drugs. Life without drink. Life without a pill. Life without a party. Amen. Woo! You didn't know you could have a good time sober, did you? There's some folks looking at our teenagers the other night and taking a laugh on that boom.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some of y'all in shape. We're going to build a bigger building. I'm thinking about your health. You'll have to order a runner. Man, you just get so full. It's got to come out.
You
know what that is? It's life. There's great power in the seed. It holds great power, but it holds great promise. It holds great power. Oh, I know. It holds great power, but it also holds great promise. It is amazing. I looked this up last night. You can put a kernel of corn, about the size of my little fingernail, maybe even a little, some of that silver clean. Oh, I like it, silver clean corn, baby. I'm wanting corn on the cob, baby. Before I get on that airplane in the morning. You put that in the ground. Now listen to it. I want you to think about the great promise. In verse number 8, now watch what he says. He's talking about this seed that fell into good ground. He said it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. Here's what he's saying. From that one little seed, it had the potential to multiply itself. 3,000%, 6,000%, and some even 10,000%. For those of you that's ever farmed any at all, you've seen that in operation. One kernel of corn. I don't know how many kernels on an ear, and I don't know how many ears on a stalk. But it's absolutely amazing what happens when God's seed, God's word, falls on good ground. You know what it does? That one little seed, brother, it springs into life, and that life gives another life, and that life another, and that life another, and that thing just perpetuates. Oh, thank God for the harvest.
Amen.
The great promise of the seed. And I'm going to just run through this right quick and try to close. We looked at the task of the sower, the treasure of the seed. I want you to look at the testimony of the soul. The testimony of the soul. Here's where the secret lies. The secret lies on what the seed falls in. The secret lies on what the seed falls in. Whether you've ever planted anything in your life or not, I know you'll know the answer to this question. If I dropped a kernel of corn on that hardwood floor right there, and we just left it for months, days, years, whatever, do you think we'd ever get corn off this platform?
No.
Why? It's a seed. Because it's so important what the seed falls in.
Amen.
Amen. He talks about these different souls. These farmers today, they've got high tech. They do all these soil samples. And boy, they find out all the nutrients that's there and what's lacking and all that kind of stuff. Well, the Lord takes a soil sample too. First, he talks about a compacted soil. It's hard. That's that seed that fell by the wayside. You know what a wayside is? It's a walking path. Or a cart path. And the more that thing's traveled on, the harder it becomes. Amen? We grew up, these kids don't even know what I'm talking about when I say dirt roads. I run dirt roads all my life when I was a kid. Now there ain't none left. I wish we still had some dirt roads. There was dirt roads all over Paul and Carroll County. Matter of fact, most of them, there's more dirt roads than there was paved roads, wasn't it, Danny? I mean, we had somewhere to play and have fun. Hey, you could probably sow some seed in the middle of that. That would be a wayside. You could sow some seed out there, but it's compacted so hard. You hear what I'm trying to tell you? It's been beat down. It's been run over. Time and time and time again. Hey, we got some folks that have been run over. Time and time and time and time again. You've been beat down. Now that dirt, your heart, is as hard as your rock. And that seed's having a hard time. That seed's having, well, if my heart's hard, is there any hope? Yep.
That's right. That's right.
The Lord can break up that fallow ground. There was a compacted soul, and then there was a crippled soul. That seed fell into stony places. Stony places. Often there'd be an outcropping of rocks or limestone. Have you ever been to Stone Mountain? Largest piece of exposed granite in the world, I think. Stone Mountain right here in Atlanta. I never forget the first time I went to Stone Mountain. I got a little confused. I'm a country boy and I've growed stuff, but I ain't ever growed stuff on a rock. You go to Stone Mountain, if you look, there's some trees growing out of there.
Oh, yeah.
My wife made me walk up that thing one day. They got a cable car ride. Oh, my God. You can get the top of that thing, ain't got sweat. Amen. But I'll never forget walking up the side of that mountain and looking at that little tree coming up out of that rock. And I got to look at it. Not only could I see the tree, I could see its roots.
Yeah.
It didn't have nowhere to go. You say, well, it grew. Yeah, but it's not very stable.
Amen.
I could have grabbed that tree and just yanked it and thrown it off that mountain.
Yes, sir.
Why? It didn't have no root.
Amen.
You've heard the gospel over and over again. Maybe you've come to the altar time and time again. Pray about this, pray about that. But just don't seem to take. It's because that stony heart. You need to ask the Lord to break your heart. Well, I don't want to break a broken heart. But what if something great grows out of it?
And that's right.
There's the crippled soul. I'm leaving some of this out. But I want you to listen. Let me just jump down. Well, there's a crowded soul. There was a crowded soul. He said it fell among thorns. Too much trying to grow in one spot.
Right.
Yes.
If you're not familiar with farming, maybe you're familiar with grass.
Yeah.
I don't cut grass at my house. I cut weeds. Isn't it amazing if you don't get the weeds out, they'll take over? It's a fact of life. It works in a field. It works in a yard. You'll never see grass choke out the weeds. It's always the weeds choke out the grass. My grandmother used to tell me, honey, if you don't get them weeds out of your watermelon, you ain't going to have the watermelon, or you're going to have the weeds. Why? Because the soil's too crowded. Everything can grow in there at the same time. We come into church and the Word of God is sowed. Yes, we can. We're scattering that seed. We're scattering it everywhere. Doing the best we can. But we come in and say, well, I just didn't get nothing out of that. Maybe your heart's too crowded.
Yeah,
that's good. Maybe it's too full of all this other stuff.
Yeah.
All the
yeah.
cares of this life. Maybe we need to get on this altar and do some weeding this morning.
Amen.
Clean out the briar paths.
Yeah.
You know, briars is hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
I got them all over my place. Saw briars. I hate a saw briar. That's the curse of sin, by the way.
Right.
I hate a saw briar. I'll take them loppers, them little things you cut limbs with. I'll go up there, Brother Charles, cut them things off at the ground. A couple weeks later, running up a tree again. Them things grow and they grow fast. That's where the sin is in our heart.
Right.
You know what it does? It chokes out that good seed.
Amen.
Even though the seed's been sown, you've heard it.
Yeah.
You've heard it. But as soon as that seed falls in that ground, them thorns, and them weeds just begin to choke it out. So there was a crowded soul. But listen, I'm glad there was a choice soul.
Amen.
A choice soul. One that was broken and prepared to receive the seed.
Amen.
You ever wonder why it is God does His best work in your life when you're at your worst?
Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen.
God can do something with a tender heart.
That's right. Amen.
That seed can grow in a tender heart. Every one of these ladies back here in this altar this morning, Lexi is shouting. I remember the first time I saw her. I thought, she hates my guts. I'm serious, the whole time I was preaching. First time I saw her, she is as hard as that wood right there. Her face was as cold.
Amen.
Looked at me like I was from outer space. Just sit there. She is so tense, you could have bounced the quarter off her cheek. I was talking about. I thought, ooh. I didn't even want to go to the door to shake hands after church. I wanted to slide out. But she had that look in her face like, I'll whoop you. Told my wife, here, you come stand with me. You know I love you. Next week, that little foot in Clive's
heart.
Just a few weeks of throwing some
seeds.
I went home and I said, God, I don't even know that gal's name, but I know this, she needs you.
Amen.
Yeah. can take the bad soil.
Yes. Amen.
Make it good soil.
Yes.
Glory to his name.
Amen.
The task of the soul. The treasure. The treasure of the seed. Oh, thank God there's a treasure. And then the testimony of the soul. Brother Todd, would come if you would, Miss Elizabeth, y'all get us a song. He asked me a question this morning. What's the testimony of your soul? What's the testimony of your heart? Has it fallen on hard ground this morning? Has it fallen on stony ground? Has it fallen on crowded ground? Well, there's so much in your life that's just choking it out. Somebody would give us offers when I said, Lord, give me what Lex has got. Lord, I don't want to be hard. I don't want to be cold. God, you did it for her, done for me. You know what? He will. He will. He don't love her, but he loves you. He'll love me, but he loves you. Stand our feet together this morning. Some are already coming to the altar. If we could, let's just bow our heads together this morning. Nobody looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe there's some folks in here, you're saved, you know you are. You know if you die today, heaven will be your home. But you'd be honest this morning, say, preacher, my heart's got hard. Because of this, that, and the other, I've allowed my heart to get hard. And the seed's just not producing anything anymore. I know I'm saved. But I need God to break up that old hard heart again. I wonder if somebody would be honest and slip up their hand. Say, preacher, pray for me. I've let my heart get hard. Hands all over this building. Thank you for being honest. You can put it down.